Hey there, and welcome to part two of the Niche Optimizer Formula audio tutorial. And in this section, or in this audio, we're going to go through a target market exercise. And this is a very important exercise that's going to help you identify the right sweet spot for you. And I urge you to take the time to go through it over the next week or two. Sometimes it takes that long to find the best answers. Even if some of the answers seem obvious to you, I urge you to really revisit this and keep thinking through these questions, because you might find golden nuggets that didn't come to the surface the first time you thought through these questions. There's really great value in going through this and writing down your answers and revisiting this material. I'm going to walk you through the questions first, and then I'll show you how to find meaning in your answers whenever applicable. So let's start with the your what part of your positioning. Remember, that's the easiest one to kind of talk about, to think through. So let's just start there. In the first question, and this is all in your workbook, by the way, so I urge you to, if you're going to go through it now and then think through this later and answer the questions later, either way, have your workbook in front of you. Alternatively, you can answer questions now. Just pause the audio, write down whatever comes to mind, and continue. And I'll guide you through this. And of course, go back through it again later. The first question is, what type of commercial writing do you really enjoy? Or what type of writing do you think you'd really enjoy if you haven't launched your business yet? Is it content? Is it copy? Is it some other type of writing? Long format, short format? What other factors should you consider here, you know, in terms of the actual writing that you want to do or that you do well? Second question is, what specific writing assignments do you like most? So now we're getting a little bit more specific. The first question was the type of writing. Now we're getting specific into the types of writing assignments. Question number three, which assignments feel easier to do? So in other words, what type of work feels almost effortless when you get into it? Question number four, are there any assignments that sound fascinating, yet you've never had a chance to work on them before? What are they? And what is it about them that sounds fascinating to you? Question number five, what types of writing assignments do you dislike? Are there any that you not just dislike, but you absolutely hate? And if so, why? The next section is the for whom section of the positioning, and I have several questions for you here. Focus around those four key factors that we talked about a little bit earlier. Let's start with factor number one, your passions, your knowledge, your talents. So that's really the first question here. Consider your passions, your knowledge, and talents. What are they? Question number two, what topics do you know very well in business, in general? Doesn't really matter what area, just what general topics in all areas do you know very well? What have you written about extensively, or at least more than the average writer? Number three, in what industries have you written before? Question number four, in what subject matter do you have particular expertise or experience? So notice here, I'm not necessarily talking about writing. I'm just talking about subject matter that you know really well or that you have experience in. Question number five, what type of writing do you do well? What projects and topics tend to generate the most compliments from clients and colleagues? Question number six, what topics are you really passionate about? Question number seven, let's take all this one step further. And let's say that you inherited a $20 million fortune this week, today. You no longer had to write for money. That's all being taken care of. So what kind of commercial writing would you focus on if that were the case? What topics? Now, with these questions and everything else that I'm going to cover here, keep in mind that it doesn't really matter where you are in your business. You've been at this for 20 years. Obviously, you have a lot you can talk about. You're yet to launch your freelance commercial business. Doesn't matter. I want you to think about what you think you would enjoy or what you think would be best for you based on the questions that I ask you. There's still great value in approaching it that way. All right, let's move into the second factor of the for whom, the contacts, your relationships. So open your address book or your contact management system or whatever you use to keep the names of your friends and colleagues and create a list of where your best contacts work. Specifically, what industries, what fields or organization they work in, and see if you notice any patterns. Also, pay particular attention to those contacts who seem to be good connectors. And by connectors, I'm talking about people who know a lot of other people and are very good at connecting the right people to each other. And here's a memory jogger to guide you through this effort. And again, all this is in your workbook. Current and previous employers, your spouse or other family member, and his or her current and previous employers. Think through those. People you've worked with in the past who may work in the marketing department or of an organization or have a good connection in their employer's marketing department or in a department that would hire a writer, the type of writer that you are or want to be. Fellow church members or parents from your children's school or social groups, any previous clients that you've had, dormant clients, anyone who's inquired into your services, that could be a big list, of course, that have called or emailed you in the past or maybe in the past 6 months or so, or maybe you've met in a networking event of some kind, anyone who has subscribed to your newsletter or downloaded something from your website. And again, that could be an extensive list, so I would focus on those that you feel have the highest chance or higher priority, or look for patterns. Anyone you know who's a potential referral source, and there are many different possibilities here, but you may want to consider graphic designers, consultants who knows you or has sent work your way, a videographer, or anyone else you know who's well-connected and may know potential clients they can refer you to. Now, I think it's obvious, but I need to point this out. You're looking for quality here, not necessarily quantity. I'm not looking for you to make a list of 500 people. I've had coaching clients that worked in really hot industries that use an incredible amount of marketing content, yet they had a difficult time getting their business going or moving in a different direction because the contacts they had in that industry were not very high quality. I've also had coaching clients who worked in industries that don't use a lot of outside writers, yet they were so well connected in their industries and in their just professional networks and even personal network that they were able to launch successful writing businesses very, very fast. All right, the third factor to consider is, again, that perceived value and financial capability, perceived value of writing and the financial capability to pay you the fees you deserve. So start your search by looking back at your answers above in the areas of knowledge, passions, talents, and interests, as well as your personal and professional contacts, and see if you can find instances of products or services that are new or different, expensive, and again, expensive for the typical customers that buy them, or complex. You're looking for at least 2 out of 3 of those factors in order for a market to score high in the perceived value and financial capability area. So as I explained earlier, products and services or solutions that are new or different, expensive or complex, don't just sell themselves. They're typically considered purchases that involve a formal buying process, several decision makers, a committee, and a lot of content from a vendor, content that someone needs to write. So here's the first question. If you're familiar with industries, markets, or organizations, or if you know people in those areas that have the qualities I just mentioned here, list them. Question number 2, as you look at the list that you create, which ones seem to sell products, services, or solutions that are perceived as urgent or very important by their own customers? Urgent or very important as opposed to just nice to have. Okay. And the list above should be a list of industries or even sectors within an industry, or in some cases, it could be people. Again, I'm just trying to help you identify based on your interests and based on your network, what's the intersection of those factors plus this need to create content for products that are considered purchases. And again, a great way to make this determination is by looking at the products and services they sell to their customers. And by they, I'm talking about potential clients here. So if the offerings of potential clients you start thinking about, or potential industries that you may want to explore, or potential areas, are tied to revenue generation, profit improvement, risk mitigation, growth, mission, or a strong core desire or goal, they're probably perceived as urgent or very important by their prospects and customers. All right, let's go back to the earlier example of the swimming instructors. So what if these guys were also professional coaches for ultra-competitive high school swimmers who were very serious about developing an edge and improving their performance? So how does that change the perceived value of their offering to someone with that kind of goal or aspiration? Changes it quite a bit, doesn't it? All right, let's look at the other example that I mentioned in the part one of the tutorial. The example of the consulting firm that helps large retailers reduce their energy costs across all their stores. In an environment of rising energy costs and thinner profit margins, how important is that kind of value proposition? Compare that to a company that sells, say, electrical wire and conduit. Right? You see the difference? So everything else being equal, the market that sells products or services that have a higher perceived value will be better targets for you as a writer from a financial standpoint, because they'll have a greater need for content or copy, and they'll be more willing to pay higher fees for that copy or content. If you didn't come up with any markets that fit this criteria based on your knowledge, your experience, your passions, or contacts, work backwards and think of markets that have many of these qualities I just talked about and that you at least find somewhat interesting, and run them through the litmus test above that I just talked about, and see if you discover some possibilities there. All right, let's look at the fourth factor under this for whom category, which is personal client attributes. And here I want you to get clear on the types of people that you want to work with. So before, we've been talking mostly about markets or industry, so it's been very non-personal. Now I want you to think through, okay, in for any client, you're going to be in contact, direct contact with individuals. And I want you to think about what kind of individuals would you want to work with closely. You may not be able to determine much about someone by the market in which they work or the organization they're a part of, but when you have that initial conversation with a prospect, you want to be able to assess that individual and how closely they match the attributes of your ideal client. So the first question is, I want you to think about the people that you've enjoyed working with the most in the past, whether you've been freelancing for a long time, or whether you've been in a different industry, completely different discipline. It doesn't really matter. I want you to think about people you've really enjoyed, the people you wish you could clone as clients, or the people you wish you would have as clients that would make great clients. How do they treat you? What are their attitude towards you and your work? Or again, if you're just starting out, how would you love for them to perceive you and your work? And how would you like them to value that? Question number two, for contrast, I want you to look at the other side of the spectrum and think about the people you've disliked working with the most. How do they treat you? What were their attitude towards you and your work? Okay, and that's a very important question, because it's going to offer some contrast that might make question number one a little bit clearer. All right, let's move on to the third area of positioning, why you're different. And before thinking through your differentiators, I want you to list the attributes your current and previous clients value in a freelance writer. Again, if you're just getting started, what you think they would value in a freelance writer. And think about your clients and what they've told you about you and your work. What do they compliment you on? Now, for question number two, I don't want you to stop there. I want you to think about what you think clients value in a freelance writer. If you hired commercial writers yourself, if you're in a hiring capacity, what qualities would you look for? And here are some ideas. And again, these are also in your workbook. Somebody who's dependable, no hand-holding required, quick turnaround, error-free work, excellent storytelling skills, someone who can craft a compelling argument, professional, long-term resource, trustworthy, can hit the ground running, someone who understands the industry, our business, our customers. Okay, so give that some thought and write down your answers. Number three, I want you to describe what makes you as a writer and as a professional different. What makes you a better choice than most of your competitors? Or what would make you a better choice than most of your competitors? And this is where I really want you to take your time. This is one of those questions where, you know, if you come back to one thing, this is actually this whole section of why you're different. I urge you to come back to this at a minimum, because I think some of the ideas are going to come over time. Let me give you some ideas to get you thinking right now. So your background, your career accomplishments, your experience, your education, skills, specialized knowledge, certifications, achievements, accomplishments, awards, your track record, your client roster, your aptitudes, your likes, dislikes, hobbies. The idea here is take inventory of what you have going for you in each of these areas. And again, take your time doing this. In some cases, your biggest differentiators aren't the ones you thought would be the strongest. Also, please remember that the idea here is not necessarily to figure out why you're different from everyone. That's a very common mistake. Your goal is to describe what makes you different from most others, or at least from many. In my case, I decided to highlight both my sales experience and my software industry background. Now, does that make me the only writer in the world with those attributes, right? Someone who's got sales experience and worked in the software industry? No, it does not. But it was different enough to stand out with many of the prospects that I came across. So take some time to list those differentiators here, and I have room for that in the workbook. Next, I want you to go back to questions number one and number two, the questions about what clients truly value in a writer. And then for every differentiator you listed in question number three, I want you to explain why that differentiator matters by matching it to what your clients need. So for instance, say you listed someone who can hit the ground running quickly as one of the attributes you feel clients value in their writer. And then you listed 8 years experience in the commercial insurance industry as one of your differentiators. So I want you to match the two of those two by explaining why the differentiator matches a client need. So you could say something like, well, the fact that I have 8 years experience in the commercial insurance industry means that I can hit the ground running and tackle your projects with no handholding. Essentially, what you want to do is ask yourself the following question about each differentiator, right? You want to ask yourself, so what? Why does that matter? And specifically, why would that differentiator matter to a potential client of mine? So what you'll end up with, just to clarify, is you'll have a list of differentiators. And for each one, I want you to write at least one so what answer to it. So again, that example, well, 8 years experience in the commercial insurance industry. So what? Well, that means that I can hit the ground running and tackle your projects with no handholding. Now, you may come up with three or four for each. That's fine. In fact, that's great. But I don't want you to have a differentiator out there that does not have a so what answer next to it. All right, so let's kind of put all this together, because I've just given you a lot of questions, which is going to require some serious thinking. So let's recap how I would probably approach this. If I were you, I would start with the what questions. Again, that's usually the easiest area to define and get some clarity on. The for whom area will require the most thinking. So go through the questions in the order I've listed them here and start thinking through your skills, your knowledge, your passions, and talents, and let that kickstart the process. Okay. Next, move into the questions about the people you know. And that's the order that I had it in, right? That will help you see the potential opportunities in terms of the people who could help you. It's also a good segue into the next area, which is the financial capability stuff. And with the financial capability stuff, rather than creating a random laundry list of industries or markets to explore, start that search by looking back at your answers in the areas of knowledge, passions, talents, and interests, as well as your personal and professional contacts. And let those answers guide your brainstorming efforts. In other words, let that start the process of thinking through industries and markets that have the right financial capability and would value your efforts, would value your services. So in other words, don't list software, medical devices, and green technologies as potential target markets just because you're trying to come up with industries you feel can pay well. Instead, let your answers to the questions about passions, knowledge, and contacts guide your brainstorming effort, if that makes sense. Next, don't discount the personal attribute questions. A lot of people tend to discount those, the people who just want to get right down to, well, I just want to work wherever I have experience, or I just want to work where people will pay the most. But I found that these personal attribute questions are super important. And again, they're going to give you the clarity you'll need when you talk with a potential client and you're trying to determine if that person feels like a good fit for you on a personal and professional level. You know, when you're starting out and you're just trying to get your business going, that may not be as important. You know, you may just want to just get going. Doesn't matter what the client is like. Doesn't matter. They're a little abrasive. You're a little bit more lenient there. But the more experienced you are, the more important this area is going to become. So just keep that in mind. And finally, move into the why you're different and why that difference matters questions. And make sure to ask yourself, again, so what for every differentiator you list. The bottom line is I want you to go through this process methodically. Don't jump around. There's a reason why these questions are in the order that I've placed them here. Now, for many of you, the decision on a target market won't be very straightforward. You're going to have to give this some thought. And even once you have clarity on the issue, you're going to have to let this stuff marinate for a while before you make your final decisions. I found that most people weigh some of the four areas higher than the others, though, and that's important for you to keep in mind. In my case, when I launched my freelance business, I placed greater weight on my contacts because I realized early on that the people who knew me well would recommend me to potential clients. And at that time, I didn't care as much about what I wrote about or whom I wrote for. I just wanted to get my business started and then take it from there. Now, as my business evolved, I started placing more emphasis on the financial aspect of things. You know, I wanted to work for clients who valued the type of work I did and were willing to pay well for it because it made financial sense to do so, it made financial sense to them to do that, to pay well and to see quality. I also started paying more attention to personal attributes. I wanted to work with people who jived with my personality, people who were fun to be around, who respected me as a professional, that sort of thing. So notice how things have evolved for me, and I think they evolve for everyone, and you need to take that into account depending on where you are right now in your business. Today, I'd say that I place the most emphasis on perceived value and financial capability. So on a scale of 1 to 5, I would, with 1 being not important to 5 being extremely important, I would give So today I'd say that I place the most emphasis on perceived value and financial capability. And on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being not important at all, to 5 being extremely important, I would give this perceived value and financial capability area or factor a 5. Next, I care about personal attributes. And I would also weigh that as a 5 today. I would weigh passion, knowledge, talents, and so forth as maybe a 3. Mainly because I have a wide range of interests and I'm willing to write about many different areas of technology or in some cases just business in general. I'm a little flexible on the whole industry thing. And I would weigh contacts as a 4 because I prefer to work with clients who come recommended to me by people I know. So I encourage you to use this weighted approach in your decision. I don't think this is a decision you can make in a purely scientific way, but if you're really torn, once you go through all these questions and you give this some thought and you're now really torn and you don't really have great clarity at that point, try assigning each of these 4 areas a score between 1 and 5. Again, 1 being not important at all, 5 being extremely important. And see what emerges. And what you're going to want to do, and this is, I illustrate this in the workbook, is by assigning 1 to each, it's going to give a higher weight or a lower weight to each of these 4 areas. And then you're going to start seeing, okay, this is more important than this other area, and now you can make maybe a better decision if you're on the fence on a couple of things. So as you can see from the visual representation in the workbook, a score of 1 would not put that much weight on that area. A score of 5 would really stretch things towards that category. Now, what you also will notice is this approach starts breaking down if you give all categories a weight of 1 or a weight of 5, right? So it's not going to work if you do that. But that's not the idea here. If you gave each one a weight of 1, you'd end up in the bullseye. And if you give each one a weight of 5, then your sweet spot would be way too large. Now, you're not really going to get a clear answer. So make sure to weigh each category honestly and let the weights guide you a little bit if you're torn. And use the results to think about your final answer, not necessarily to arrive at your final answer. And by that, I mean that this is not the sort of decision that you can make simply by plugging in some numbers into a formula and accepting whatever comes out of it and accepting it blindly. You have to factor everything that you've done here into your decision, especially the answers to your earlier questions lead you in many different potential directions or a few potential directions. So just so you can see why this approach can help, let me give you a couple of ways to show this visually. And again, this is in your workbook. The first image here is that of a basic sweet spot. Notice that there's that bullseye right in the middle, but there's also a larger area around it that's completely acceptable. In my case, that sweet spot is a bit skewed, as you'll see in the second diagram, and that's represented by that second image. So notice that, again, personal attributes are more important to me. And so is perceived value and financial capability. But context was still kind of heavily weighted. I think they gave that a 4. The one I gave it the lowest score was passions, knowledge, and talents. So that's kind of, I mean, this is not scientific, but when I kind of drew it out by giving each a weight, this is the sweet spot where I kind of ended up. And that's what I typically focus on. And that gave me a lot more clarity as I kind of work backwards on this and use the weighing to give me a better direction here. So let me give you some additional pointers to make sure you choose well. First idea is just choose wisely. You know, make your chosen target market, make sure that it's big enough to support you and clear enough to attract the right prospects. And you know, related to that, don't go too narrow at first. Resist the temptation to go too narrow in terms of a target market specificity. I found that it's safer to go down just enough in specificity to separate yourself from the crowd, but not so narrow that you drastically limit the size of your prospect base. Over time, you're going to be able to go narrower and narrower, if you choose, as you get a better feel for the nature of your chosen market. So for instance, I went from offering to write anything for anyone, which didn't get me anywhere, to specializing in the high-tech industry. And that's still a huge market, but it was narrow enough to make a big difference in my ability to attract great clients and to differentiate myself. Over time, I started narrowing down that target market to software companies that sold data management, ERP, or construction management solutions. Those are the areas where I was gaining a lot of expertise, where I was doing a lot of writing. But I did that only once I had developed a following of sorts in each of those areas, each of those sectors of the software industry, and only after I felt comfortable enough taking a stand because word of mouth and referrals had kind of taken over. So notice I didn't make that decision until I felt safe doing so. It would have been very difficult to predict that from the very beginning and just declare that kind of specificity from the very beginning and then just take my chances. It's better to just take enough of a stand to make a difference, to stand out, you know, in a crowded market. And then as you learn more and you see where the what you like and where the real demand is and the types of topics that you enjoy, then you start narrowing things down a little bit more safely. Now, if you're a new or aspiring freelancer, resist the temptation to be too rigid or too focused. So for instance, unless you have extensive experience writing case studies from your last two jobs in corporate marketing communications, don't say that I'm a case study writer and that's all I do. You know, so don't, unless there's something that just screams you have to do this, this is exactly what you should focus on. You should be very rigid. Unless you have that, don't be that rigid. I want you to be more flexible at first. It's okay to pick one, two, or three main project specialties, but don't be so rigid unless there's a very good reason for doing so. Instead, what I urge you to do is what I call follow the flow. And by that, I'm talking about tapping your personal and professional network, start prospecting and just see where this leads you. Be open to working on just about any writing project just to get the experience of working with a client and managing a project and see where that takes you. So going back to my earlier example of when I was starting out, when I chose high tech as my target market, I also set that my focus was within that market was writing lead generation materials. But something interesting started to happen. As I talked with prospects, I found that lead generation was not something they were desperate to outsource, writing that kind of materials. They would tell me, hey, Ed, that's great. That's great about your lead generation writing, but what I really need right now is someone to help me write a white paper. Do you write white papers? And I would, of course, accept the offer. Now, as a result, I started getting more and more of that content writing work. And before I knew it, more than 90% of my work was marketing content, writing white papers, case studies, byline articles, that sort of thing. And it was not writing lead generation copy. So the lesson here, again, is stay flexible. Let the market show you the way. Let them show you what they really need. And sure, make necessary adjustments along the way. Don't let them take you down a path that you absolutely hate or just doesn't pay well, is not a good fit for you. But stay flexible and open-minded. In my example, I thought lead generation was what I wanted to write, but as I started getting into more content writing, I realized, I really like this and it pays well. And the clients keep coming back and they keep referring me. And so it was great. Now, if I didn't like that at all, I would have definitely switched gears, but I was fine with that. Now, here's the interesting thing. Again, talking about how you can't predict things from the very beginning. There's no way I could have predicted that. There's no way I could have said, I've noticed a trend in this area based on the research that I've been doing, and I'm going to go ahead and declare this specific niche or this specialty or that whatever. It would have been very difficult because I could have done all that work and then gotten out there in the marketplace, and the market is like a river. It just takes you. And you have some control, but you have a lot of rapids and it's a strong current and it will take you, and you need to be willing to let it kind of sweep you and be open to that. The next piece of advice I have for you is to take your time. And I know I've said that many times, but it bears repeating. You're going to have to let some of this information and your answers marinate for a few days or even a week or two before the right answer emerges. So what I would suggest is do what you can now, but then walk away from this work and tell yourself and tell the universe that you expect good answers, that you expect clarity. And then just try to forget about all this for a day or two. And what will probably happen is the answer will just come out. It will surface when you least expect it, out of the blue. Next, don't wait for perfection. Yes, you want to do this right and not jump into conclusions too early. But at the same time, it's best to make a good enough decision and to take action on that decision than to sit around until the best solution emerges. Now, if you stayed with me so far and you've completed every step of this process and are even starting to prospect, congratulations. You've gone further than 95% of the people who set out on this journey. And if you still feel you could use some help through this process, or if you're not sure where to go from here, I'd love to help you. And I'd love to help you through a very specific way that's been proven that I've helped a lot of people through. I have a 10-week group training program called B2B Business Launcher, and it's designed specifically for B2B or commercial writers who are either trying to launch or writing businesses, or they've already launched their businesses but are not happy with the results they've achieved so far. In this program, you and I get to work one-on-one and in a small group to make sure your ignition phase is solid and done right. We then go beyond that phase into key strategic topics such as how to manage your prospecting effort more effectively, how to handle prospect conversations with ease, how to price your work profitably and how to present your fees for maximum impact, how to negotiate like a pro, how to close more of the projects you quote, plus how to build on this launch foundation so that prospects start coming to you instead of you having to chase them all the time. Now, this sounds interesting. I urge you to visit b2blauncher.com/waiting and get on my early notification list. The program is not open right now, but by getting on that list, you'll be one of the first to get all the details next time I open registration. This is a program that tends to sell out. So if this sounds interesting, there's absolutely no commitment. You know, this does not obligate you to enroll in anything, but at least you'll be on the early notification list and be one of the first to learn more about it and have an opportunity to apply for it if you think it would be a good for you. So that's it for this tutorial. I hope you get a lot of value from it. And listen, I'd love to hear from you and love to hear your experience and how it's worked out for you. So if you have any feedback on this program, feel free to email me directly, ed@b2blauncher.com. With that, I hope you have a great rest of the day. Thanks for listening, and I wish you all the best.